recording, and I'll start the roll call. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to the Eurelo Task Force on ALS Engagement Call taking place on Wednesday, 3rd of August 2016 at 1600 UTC. On the call today we have Ilya Lansipuro, Olivier Crepin-Lebon, Walt Ludwig, Oksana Prikopko, Nenad Marinkovic, Bastian Gosling. We don't have any apologies noted for this call. And from staff we have Sylvia Vivanko and myself, Yishin Nazar. Finally, I'd like to remind everyone to state their names before speaking for the transcript purposes. Over to you, Ilya. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. And welcome, everybody, to the conference, to the first conference of the task force on ALS engagement of Eurelo. I'm happy that actually the discussion started using email already. I just got the comments from Olivier and also Nenad answered to my reply. So that I think that we have good material already for our conference here. The agenda is on the screen. Would this agenda be acceptable to all?
Yes.
Hearing no objections, this is the agenda we follow. Thank you very much. So the I send an email to the members of the task force a few days ago, trying to point out a few things that we should take as our starting points. And of course, Olivier answered to this already, and also Nenad. I think that we don't need to spend much time to argue that what we are doing is enormously important because Eurelo, like other railroads and even at large as a whole, really stands or falls with the activity of its ALSs. Without ALSs, we are just an empty shell, and that's why we really need to have something happening at the grassroots. I also pointed out that the couple of things of the Eurelo, that is to say, we have it's a the great diversity of ALSs. If you look at the list of ALSs in our Eurelo, you see that they are really very different, and one size does not fit all. And I think that the first conclusion from that is that our approach in trying to get them engaged more in Eurelo, our approach has to be different, you know, towards different ALSs. And of course, the other observation from the list is that there are sort of big areas in Europe where we don't have any ALSs so far. But I think that this is something that really, before that can be tackled, then we have shown that there are activities going on in ALSs that exist. Then we can point to that example and get more countries in the crowd. For instance, more ISOC chapters to join as ALSs. So So the our basically, I would divide what we try to do, what we try to get done at the ALSS level is basically, in general terms, two things. That is to say, get them involved in the basic activities of the ALSS and at large. That is to say, to participate in the drafting of advice, which is our main task. And then the other thing is to facilitate their work at the national level as part of the multi-stakeholder setting. But first, on this more general side, our tasks, what we should do, I would like to open a discussion on that subject, and perhaps I'd like to. Since Olivier, you were quite detailed in your comments, and you pointed out that what we should do is actually to fulfill the recommendations of the previous review. Perhaps I can ask Olivier to talk about those recommendations and refresh our memory on them, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Elio. It's Olivier Clapin-Leblanc speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. The recommendations which I mentioned in my email are not obviously the only task that this task force should be undertaking. I think that it would be silly of me to say we should just focus on this. But anyway, so for those of you that haven't had a chance to read the email yet, so the at-large community came together and drafted, I think it was in July 2014, or June 2014, drafted a statement with a very large number of recommendations. I think we're talking about a total of 43 recommendations. And there was a follow-up that was undertaken by an implementation task force. I'll put the link to the. Here we go. That's the at-large summit follow-up. And in there are some recommendations which are geared towards the region at-large organizations and that deal with the engagement of at-large structures or better engagement of at-large structures. Now, bearing in mind, these recommendations were written by our community. So, in fact, some of you who were already there took part in the discussions. They were not only drafted by our community, but they were then voted on, first passed. There was no objection to them being passed on to the ALAC in a big meeting that we had in London when everyone met face-to-face. And then the ALAC ratified them and passed them on to the ICANN board, and of course then the implementation started. There are several that go directly for the railroads, as I said, and the first one, I refer you to number 28 and number 29. These are the first two that I think are quite significant to the work of our task force here. And number 28 mentions, in fact, let me just put it down. You put a link to it. Yippee. Sorry, trying to do so many things at the same time. So number 28 is this one. It's in the chat. You can click on that. And you can see it on the screen as well, which is pretty cool. And it says that the ALAC should work with all RALOs and ALSs to map the current expertise and interests in their membership, to identify subject matter experts, and facilitate policy communication. There's been a significant amount of work done here because the railroad chairs have been directly involved with the implementation of this. And ultimately, what's been happening is that the regional at-large organizations have created a certain number of surveys, but the response rate was inconsistent among the railroads. And so now we're putting together a system, first, of centralized at-large structure information,
And we're also looking at, as a next step, to develop a specific questionnaire regarding ALS expertise and interest that would be sent to all of the at-large structures, the 200-plus at-large structures, and the information gathered would be included in the at-large structure database. That's where we are today. Heidi was going to contact Heidi Ulrich, the director for at-large, was going to contact the ICANN staff to find out if we could have a professional survey creation person that would work on this. The response has been that there is a it wasn't the case at the time, but there might be some angles that we might be able to pursue for this. So I would say for this task force that we have here, perhaps should we speak to this to the RALO chairs and to the group that's working on this on this survey building, and work with them, perhaps. I know that the other RALOs are also have a task force on, or some of the other RALOs have also got task force on surveys, so maybe we can work with them as well. It's a very open set of questions. So that was one thing for recommendation 28, and I think it goes along with what Yulia was saying. Number 29, sorry for being a bit verbose. Number 29 is about the ALAC should implement an automated system for tracking topics of interest currently being discussed among the various RALOs and accessible by everyone. Now, the ALAC website has been completely revamped, and we now have the ability to track policy and policy development much more easily than we used to in the past. But we don't have any way to track the discussions, the hot topics in the various regional at-large organizations. So while there is the ability to tag and curate and organize ALAC advice, we still need to design something and develop a tool, mechanisms to report and share our activities. And just doing it on a wiki page, I feel personally, and that's me putting my personal thoughts on this, I feel is not enough, because the wikis have to be updated manually, and they're difficult to navigate. The only way, I mean, if we were to take a first step and put it in a wiki, then we would really need to reorganize our URALO front page and make sure this is easily found. Because, frankly, at the moment, it's so difficult to find information in the wiki, especially when it pertains to URALO, because you've got announcements, you've got meetings, you've got everything mixed together. If you do URALO.org, www.URALO.org, you'll see what I mean. It's a little worrying. There are also some RALO pages on the ALAC website, and perhaps we should point to these as being a good resource. And if we had maybe there on that website location where there was a constant update, monthly update of what the RALO was doing, then we would also have the ability to have at-large structures putting their little thingies about, you know, little information about what they were up to as it relates to ICANN and as it relates to the ALAC. That could be a step forward. I've spoken a bit too much. So that's the first two. There were more that I had mentioned further down. There was there's of course the use of simple tools for policy development, but we've got a technology force in at large that is looking at this. And then there was also the General Assembly, that's fine. But then there's number 43, recommendation 43, which is particularly important, and that's the recommendation to enable, to encourage inactive ALS representatives to comply with ALAC minimum participation requirements. And I think that, here we go, so the link to 43, if maybe that, my feeling is that the current task force that we're on right now, we need to look at this for URALO, if we all agree about this. That's all, thanks.
Thank you very much, Olivier. This is Yrjö speaking for the transcript. Thank you very much for reminding us of these recommendations, and perhaps taking yes You raised your hand, please. Olivier?
Sorry, Yerio. Yes, Olivier again. I just forgot, as I said, and that's it. I forgot to just mention on that last recommendation on the ALAC minimum participation requirements. These are bylaw mandated minimum participation requirements. So they're not a case of, oh, well, you know, let's negotiate and find out. You know, some ELSs just can't go through these requirements, minimum participation. And, you know, it should be their right to participate any way they wish. No, because when you sign up to to become an ALS, you sign up to those minimum participation requirements. So I think it's important to note that. Secondly, it's also important to note there is an ALAC working group on at-large, ALS. Called At-Large ALS Criteria and Expectations Task Force. And maybe we should work with them on this as well. That's all. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. On the last point, I'm actually on that ALAC or At-Large Task Force, and the design team or task force, whatever it's called, on operational expectations, which is a little bit the same what we are trying to do here. And as you said, they are these minimum participation things should really be defined on at large level. But to go back to recommendation 28. Mapping the expertise that is available, that is hidden, I would say, at ALSCs, identifying them and getting you know, leveraging these resources, I think that perhaps we should think of what we should do in Yoalo specifically. Of course, We have to harmonize our what we do with the other railroads, but perhaps we could just take a look at our 37 organizations and start, you know, finding the expertise there. And of course, there were surveys before, but they were more statistical. That is to say, you know, they did not identify people. And I think that to go forward, we really need to identify people who are experts in certain areas and who would be willing to hold a pen or at least to participate in the drafting when things regarding their expertise come up. And I think that the diversity when it comes to topics and thematic matters, diversity in Yoalo will actually help us, because there are ALSEs that are clearly specializing in certain topics, and it might be possible to get people from there who would like to. But the really, any ideas how we should do that in Yoalo without really waiting for the whole structure to start to get in the act. Olivier, please.
Thank you very much, Edio. It's Olivier speaking. I've put a link to the last Yoalo survey on expertise. I found the link on the wiki page for number 28. And as you said, yes, it came up with a few replies which were very just statistical. So we had 30% of engineers, 5% of lawyers, 15% of journalists and teachers and stuff. And then we had various people with various interests in areas of specialization. It was good. It's good, I guess, for us, and I mean the Yoalo leadership, and also, I guess, for the at-large community in finding out, in general, what are the interests in Europe. And here we can see, if you scroll down to Q4, that the largest interest group is internet governance, and then there's an interest in domain names, there's an interest in privacy, there's an interest in intellectual property, media, the things which are not really, so computer crime and artificial intelligence aren't a very high interest, but certainly of the topics which directly relate to ICANN, privacy is one where 40% of respondents said they had interest in privacy, and domain names, obviously, that's important. And the wider internet governance space. So, that is helpful in some way. But as you said, we need to go further and be able to have each one of our ELSs, and we're speaking about ELSs, not just the individual at-large structural representative, the person answering the question, but that person to let us know what their at-large structure has as far as their competencies are concerned. Does they have people that are interested in privacy or that have knowledge of privacy? Does they have people that have knowledge of security, cybersecurity or things? Does they have people that are knowledgeable about domain names or about technical issues? And that we don't have at the moment. And once we've got this, once we have that, and irrespective, of course, of how the database will be managed, et cetera, but let's say the database is to be created, once we have that, the next step with this is when there is a topic that comes up for public consultations, then we would be able to only bother, in quotes, bother the people who have a knowledge about this and say, hey, you've said that your ATLAS structure has got knowledge of privacy. This is a privacy issue. Can you come back to us with your comments on this or how you feel about it? I feel that would really engage them a lot better. And it would also make their engagement a lot more worthwhile rather than always sending these big notices out there. Thanks.
Thank you, Olivier. I think we are thinking very much along the same lines. I think that what is needed is really we have to reach out to the ALSCs on this topic, but to do it, I would not say individually, but anyway, in a way that somehow takes into account the diversity of the ALSCs and the objective of that exercise would be actually that we would start getting names coupled with their expertise, names and contact information, of course, being understood that this information will remain in the RALO. It will not be sort of put on websites and so on and so forth. So that what I would actually volunteer to do is to draft the first draft of such email message that would go to the railroad, to our ALSs. And I make the draft and then I circulate it with our group. And as I said, I'm trying to think of how to do that. Of course, basic message is the same, but somehow I think that it could be calibrated, taking into account that some ALSCs are specializing in consumer affairs, some are technically oriented, and so on and so forth. Any comments? And I'm interpreting this. Well, Oksana, please.
Thank you, Chair. Do you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you. Oksana, please.
Hello, do you hear me? Thank you. It's Oksana Prikhodько speaking. I highly appreciate all this very important discussion, but I would like to add one more issue. Our level expertise depends not only our professional background, but on national priorities, on national content in which each ALS exists. That is why we have to take into account not only professional background, but also national or geographical priorities, and also to make some this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Oksana. This is very, yeah, I think that this was a very, this is important, this is a very important addition. It's not only the professional background, it's also the national priorities, which are really, can be very different, you know, on this large continent from the west to the east. I see a check mark from Olivier. Any comments to this idea of drafting an email message to the ALSs, to, you know, calibrating it according to their situation and really taking into account also the national priorities and not only the professional topics. Yes, Olivier, please.
Yeah, thanks, Sergio. It's Olivier Capanablo speaking. I was going to say you mentioned that, you know, the survey would be done by email or something. I think we'll probably have to work out later how that survey would be carried out. I even think that to get a better response, it might be that we might need to have some kind of a system where we call each one of the ALSs and have a 15-minute chat with them or something. I know we've got quite a few. But with some of them, it might be the easier way to, or the easiest way, or the only way, perhaps, even to gain their feedback on this, to actually engage in a dialogue with them. Just a thought. So we should leave no option unturned.
Well, thank you, Olivier. This is Yuri. Yeah, I think that this takes the individual approach, of course, even further. And it's quite work intensive, but I'm all for it. I think that what we could do is to combine the two approaches. That is to say, the first step is an email, and as you said, the reply rate may be quite low, but then there will be a follow up to that, arranging these calls. Any more comments on this part of the agenda? I would say, I mean, we are now talking about how to leverage the expertise at the ALSs and how to get them involved in the actual work. Why this is important is not only in order to activate the ALSs, but also I think that if the advice actually contains material that is clearly from the grassroots, like examples of how certain proposed policies would impact the situation in Western Europe, Eastern Europe, so on and so forth, that would make the advice itself even more credible. Okay, so, yes, Olivier, please.
Thanks, Sergio. It's Olivia speaking. So I'm not sure which number you are on the agenda, whether you're at 2.1 or 2.2.
I think that this is, we have been actually drifting into point three, that is to say, leveraging the expertise at AOS level, so that, and I'm, I think that we have an action item coming from that, I'll be ready to go further to the next point, unless anybody has anything about the point three. Yes, Olivier, your hand is up.
Yes, thanks very much, Edu. It's Olivier speaking. So I'm assuming that we're finished with point three, but I was going to look at 2.2, how to encourage ALSs to play an active part in the multi-stakeholder processes on the national level. And
yes,
that's a big question, and I do not know what the answer is, and I wondered how you were planning to try and work this one out. Should we ask our ad hoc structures? And I wonder whether other members of the working group here, of the task force here, would have some ideas about this. Because that's one which has been, and I'm now putting the chair, you know, Urallo chair, and of course, I see Wolf is on the call, and I know for many years he's also been looking at that. How do we get these ALSs to play an active part in the multi-stakeholder processes on the national level? Are they involved on the national level in this? Are they the right type of ad-hoc structure to be involved in this sort of thing? And how do we get them involved in our own processes? Are they relevant to? Are their organizations relevant to the at-large community and to the ICANN processes? And I really don't know how to work this one out. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Oliver. These are very much the questions, and I would like to hear from the members of the task force on them. What I think is that when we start approaching in an active way the ALSs, this is something that is perhaps could be dealt with to begin with. In the same context. That is to say, to start with finding out exactly what you said, I mean, what kind of role the ALSEs are playing today in the multi-stakeholder setup in various countries. I know of some. Obviously, I know of Finland and I know of some other, but I realize that the situation in other countries and other regions may be a different one. There are maybe high walls between different stakeholders, and especially concerning regarding the government stakeholders in different countries. But anyway, I think here the first step would be, you know, to try to find out what the situation in various countries is. The next step would be disseminating the best practices, comparing the practices what we have and of course, perhaps some helpful advice on how an ALSE could make itself a valuable partner for the others. And here I would really like to stress what Nenad said in his email, which I think went to all members of the group. That is to say, he said that long and hard work in order to become established respected and equally treated organization. I couldn't agree more, because a multi-stakeholder situation does not just happen. I mean, we need that stakeholders really work hard to make them to establish their position. But on the other hand, I know, at least on the ISOC side, I know that some ISOC chapters have succeeded in providing that sort of expertise through the multi-stakeholder dialogue that has now been available elsewhere. But please, I would like to hear comments from all of you. Bastian, please.
Hello, this is Bastian speaking. Thank you very much, Ilio. Well, I have to say, in general terms, I very much agree with what you just said. But maybe first of all, for myself, a clarifying question. If we speak of participation in a multi-stakeholder process on a level, in this case, I am assuming that we are talking about ICANN-related policies, right? So for us, as a Dutch Internet Society chapter, we do so in the sense that we engage with the GAC representative, with the CCPLD operator, with numerous registrars and others, you know, active in this particular field. And from that perspective, I would consider that on a national level, participating in multi-stakeholder processes with regard to ICANN-related policymaking. But I'm not quite sure if that's actually what you mean with this particular point or not.
Yes. Thank you, Bastian. This is Yrjö. Yes, of course, that is the core ICANN-related policies and multi-stakeholder approach relating to them. At the same time, I would say that there may be issues that are slightly wider. That, for instance, just one example where I think that we developed quite a good multi-stakeholder cooperation was before the ITU plenipot in Busan, and that's of course that was ITU, but at the same time, it was very much a question of policies that impacted ICANN and impacted internet governance as we know it. So yes, the ICANN-related policies are the core, but it should not be taken too narrowly. Wolf, please. Wolf?
Sorry, I had to unmute myself.
Okay.
Can you hear me now? Okay, thanks for
Euro
and Wolf Ludwig for the records. Well, about ALS engagement, this is a long-lasting issue over years. And to my observation or to my perception, we do not really face the problem of how to encourage ALSs to play an active part in the multi-stakeholder process on the national level. To my knowledge, this part of the problem is not a main problem, because to my knowledge, a lot of our ALSs, most of our ALSs are actively involved at the national level. Many of them are involved in, if there is any national IGF, many of them are involved in this process in Germany, in Switzerland, etc., in France, to my knowledge, in Ukraine and in other countries, Finland as well. So I think it's not so much the key problem to get them more involved on any national activity. It's more the problem how to link the different levels from the national internet governance discourse and events that take place over the year and make the link to ICANN activities or make the link to ELEC and to get feedback from our ALSs to get more involved and get more active in ELEC policy development processes, etc. This is, according to my observations, the key handicap and the key problem, and I must admit I have no real answer to this last question. And another problem I sense a little bit is we are once again in a situation that here in this task force there are only now very few ALS representatives take part, that we are again talking about our ALSs, our members, trying to sense them and to analyze their difficulties. And I think in such a process of ALS engagement, we should, in one way or the other, should try to talk with our members and to ask them directly what are the obstacles and what are the problems, why there is not more engagement on the ALEC and the ICANN level. Thanks.
So this is Yrjö. Thank you very much, Wolf. I think you are absolutely right that the national level is not the main problem, and it works quite well in those countries you mentioned. At the same time, I mean, if the multi-stakeholderism works at home, then how would that be get linked to the to our level? Also, I think that we can that there are everything is not that well among the stakeholders, and we could help perhaps, but for instance by making the by laying the bridge between the at large the ALSs and making introducing them to their to the GAC representatives. I'm sure that there are countries where the ALS is not that is not on so good terms with the GAC people and bureaucracies and so on and so forth. I think that there is a role for us also in this respect. And anyway, I think that it would be good to have an overall view of in which countries this is all working smoothly, and where there would be perhaps need for help. So what I suggest is that we include a few questions about that in the message we send. As Wolf says in the chat, of course, involvement in the national IGFs is something that is a great vehicle for this sort of multi-stakeholder cooperation. At the same time, if there are places where this does not happen so far, so we could perhaps help and give some you know, best practices on how the ALSEs could take the initiative here. Okay. Any more comments on this point four, facilitating the role of ALSEs in the multi-stakeholder cooperation national level? So on that, I would say that the action item would be that we include the a few questions about the existing multi-stakeholder cooperation on national level in the message that will be to the ALSEs. And of course, if we get to these phone calls that Olivier mentioned, then this topic can be further explored if necessary. We have about 10 minutes to the end of the conference, so I would go to the any other business, any other. Well, among those recommendations that Olivier mentioned, they were also, Olivier first, and then. Olivier, please.
Bastian was before me, I think.
Okay, please. Bastian, please.
Yeah, thank you. This is Bastian speaking. That was something I was about to raise myself, the recommendations that Olivier referred to. I have not been able to actually, you know, follow all the links he provided, first in email and then via the chat, and, you know, go into all the details. But I do think, you know, it's at least important for me, and I think for all of us, you know, to read them more closely and to see how this relates to what we're trying to achieve here. But assuming that does mean that, you know, we should cooperate with existing initiatives and include them, or, you know, to see how they relate to what we're doing, then I would assume too that the scope of what we're going to achieve, so the tasks that are in draft now, as also mentioned in the agenda, that has to be changed. So I don't know if that's the case or not, but at least from my perspective, that would help to manage expectations and also, you know, the amount of work that I myself put into this. Thank you.
Okay. Olivier, please.
Thanks, Elio. It's Olivier Crefano-Blanc speaking. And I was going to mention, since you mentioned any other business, I was going to suggest also that this task force also looks at the way that we hold our regular conference calls at the moment. There is just about to be shortly an email going out to the Uralo. I think there was an email to the CROP maybe already, or the Uralo. I'm sort of losing track on this, but an email asking about the format of our monthly call. This really is our monthly the monthly time when we can provide updates and things. And the call is not that well attended. And in the days when I used to be a lecturer, I was attending all of the RALO calls, and I found that in some regions they had terrible attendance until they started making changes to the call and making it more interesting for at-large structural representatives to spend this 1 hour or 90 minutes on the call, instead of going through some boring procedures and things, actually getting something out of it. So I'm going to send several questions out there. I would hope that you can all answer it, but I would hope that it's this task force that picks the ball up then and makes recommendations on the changes that should be made, or amendments or improvements that should be made to the monthly call. Thanks.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Yuria. Yeah, this is a very good suggestion, because the monthly calls are they are really the lifeline in this whole thing we are doing. And but they need something else compared to what they are now. So that this is a good topic for our. So you will, I understand, Olivier, that you are going to send a few questions on this topic.
Yes, it's Olivier speaking. That's correct. Yeah, I'm just waiting for the announcement of the next Uralo call to come out. And as soon as this is out, which should be in a few minutes' time, hopefully, or in an hour's time, I'll send a follow-up email that will be opening the discussion and the debate on the best time for a conference call, whether we want to change the time, and then the agenda of the call, how people think the agenda should be amended and changed, what it is at the moment, how it could be changed. And I hope, as I said, then that this task force can pick up the ball and drive this forward. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. So this is the third action item, that is to say, on the base of what Olivier is going to send us, we should start developing ideas of how to improve the calls, which are really, or could be, as I said, an important lifeline of our work. Let me see, Oksana, about Uralo General Assembly 2017. What are the prospects for ALSs? I don't really know, but I mean, I think that perhaps during the subsequent calls, we could also talk about the GA, next GA, as a means of activating the ALSs. Okay, we're coming to the close to the end of the call. Any other comments? Any other business? Wolf is saying, I don't think there are good chances for face-to-face general assembly. Well, but that's a different discussion, and perhaps we can return to that. If there's nothing else, I want to thank everybody, all task force members and the staff for this call. I think that Bastian, please.
Sorry, Ariel, that was the wrong button I pushed.
Okay.
Thanks
all
for
right.
The opportunity.
Okay.
Thanks closing remarks.
That was waving your hand for goodbye. Thank you very much. Thank you all, and bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
The meeting has been adjourned, so you will now be disconnected. Thank you very much for your participation, and have a lovely rest of the day. Bye-bye.